to talk to him. It's always heaven. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. It is Monday at 3:30. And so it's In Case You Missed It with Dom Salvia, my partner in broadcasting, the guy with the most fantastic show that follows the Maggie Dawn Show every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. Welcome back to the show, Dom. Happy to have you with me.
Hey, Maggie. Happy Monday. Thanks for having me, as always.
It's a good time for sure, though. RIP to your Detroit Tigers.
Going
down in the rubber match this past Saturday. Oh, it's heartbreaking. I was rooting for them Tigers.
I know you were. Thank you, Maggie. Detroit can use all the love it can get. I mean, they took it to five against Cleveland, the underdogs. Love the Tigers. Now it's all about the Detroit Lions, and they had a great victory in Dallas yesterday, except they lost their star rusher to a terrible leg break. Oh, my God. But
please do not run the replay on that.
No. So, yeah, Detroit holding their own, Maggie.
Yeah, anytime I can see any team beat the Cowboys, I'm very excited about it. And I like to see, you know, if another good Midwestern industrial town is going to have a good outing, I want it to be the Tigers. Speaking of Detroit, though, Dom, I had to ask you about this. We had to cue up the sound because I remain mystified by Donald Trump's overall approach to selling himself to hometown crowds. Let's take a listen to Donald Trump in Detroit City last week.
The whole country is going to be like, you want to know the truth? It'll be like Detroit. Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president. You're going to have a mess on your hands. She destroyed San Francisco. She destroyed, along with Newsom, California. And we're not going to let her do that to this country. We're not going to let it happen. So.
Clap, clap,
they're
clap.
They're clapping?
But the clapping is like.
Tepid?
Should we? Are we supposed to clap?
Is this the end of his life? What? Dom, you're a native Michigander. Your reaction.
It's like inviting yourself over to dinner and then insulting your host's meal. Are you kidding me? The Detroit Economic Club. Detroit, man, coming from glory, the auto industry. It's Motown, man, the music. So much history. Storied history there, man. At one point, this town was the center of the world, man. The world. It's hard to fathom that now, 100 years later. And for Donald Trump to go there and just mock the city that I love so dearly, and it has certainly had its challenges, right? I've had, you know, auto manufacturing go overseas. You had the white flight to the burbs. You had the riots and so forth. I mean, my pa took a job at Kimberly Clark from General Motors in the early 70s. They got out of Dodge. You know what I'm saying? But here's the reality of it. There is a somewhat of a renaissance in the city of Detroit. They have had the first population growth in God knows how many years. You have a huge arts community going down and doing what they can with what's left of those beautiful homes and buildings. You got companies like Ford Motor Company investing almost $1 billion into their technology hub. The Central Michigan train station has totally been revamped. They're investing in it. Small businesses are booming around Corktown. I mean, there is a lot going on. It is about as positive as it has been in decades in Detroit. And so if I want to compare a city coming back and hopefully trying to regain its former glory, yes, I'd love to be like Detroit.
And like Donald Trump makes all kinds of promises, which are nothing more than lies to manufacturing employees, right? To the heartland. We had Will Ragland on today from the Center for American Progress Action Fund talking about Trump's broken promises to American manufacturing. Don't go to the literal heartland where manufacturing still is such an enormous, huge employer, and then basically crap all over it. Like, under Donald Trump, GM closed 6 auto plants, for crying out loud. Like, what? This is not okay. It's just so gross to me that he, and by the way, it's Gavin Newsom.
Well, that's no, it's the scum. He's got to say the scum.
Just see, one of his little nicknames.
Yeah, see how
you know?
See how he does it. He's so sharp and you know
so witty.
Someone to really look up to. Yeah, and great point. And disregard his own economic record in Motown, right? But let's talk about what the reality is. There's a lot of black people in Detroit. And Donald Trump, to my understanding, my impression, not really fond of black people. So this is his go-to. Don't mind what you did, what happened under your watch, and don't look at the recent statistics and what's happening in that glorious city, and just spew your racist rant, because that's all you got.
Well, and at the end of the day, and I've said this on the show, like, listen, I do not believe that most of the people that I know that call themselves conservatives, even the people that call themselves MAGA supporters, would ever say, well, yes, I'm a racist. Say, no, I'm not a racist. But the fact of the matter is, you're totally okay if a racist runs the country. Like, what, like, that is not a, like, point in your own defense, because the guy is racist. There's no meaningful debate about that. And if you're voting for him, you're okay with a racist running the country. It's just not cool. We had one of our good listeners was so very patient, Dom. Cindy from Appleton, we've been talking about corruption. Nobody more overtly corrupt than Donald Trump. You wanted to give a few examples. Cindy, thanks for your patience. What do you have to say?
Well, talking about the corruption, I'm going to give you three examples. First one is the Social Security Administration talking about how Republicans say that it's such a drain on our, you know, national deficit, and they defunded so many employees that they're struggling to keep up now. Another one is our post office and that whole debacle with the pension plans and everything else. And the third biggest corruption, I think, in this country is the fact that supposedly we can't deal with a national health care system. So those are my three examples that actually affect me as a regular person.
Yeah, thanks for that, Cindy. One of the things that I think corruption, we sometimes don't identify it, but the failure to improve, to regulate where it is necessary, the capture of regulatory agencies by the private sector. Certainly Donald Trump basically made it a business to appoint to be a regulator people from the industry that the regulators are responsible for regulating, and on and on and on it goes. And I just... this moment that we find ourselves in, Dom, I was talking about the fact that Trump has refused to sign what is the ethical rules and agree to them that are to be applied under the Presidential Transition Act, which limits the amount of donations that can be taken for your transition. His people, he hasn't submitted a list of potential appointees so they can start getting vetted. Like, gee whiz, I wonder why all that is. It's just...
well, he must assume he's not going to win if he's not going to provide that information. That's, of course. No, I mean, didn't he have an issue with his presidential transition team last time
to the tune of
hundreds of millions of dollars, if I recall? And I don't know the details. And there's been just such a litany of issues since then. But of course, there's no surprise. I mean, Donald Trump is going against every traditional norm in politics in U.S. history, at least certainly in the modern age, certainly since I've been alive. And even if you look at and think about what his effort has been on the campaign trail, he's not really, you know, firming up and getting the grassroots and employing folks. He's farming out their efforts to Turning Point or these other, you know, these conservative groups that are cashing all the checks that are supposed to, you know, get out the vote. And my only hope is that they're just as much of a huckster as Trump is, and they're cashing the checks and not actually doing the work.
Doing it. Yeah, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So I wanted to run something past you, Dom, and then I've got another example of Donald Trump just insulting the people that he's talking to, seemingly to weird smatterings of applause. But before we get there, I wanted to roll this past you, Dom, and each and every one of you, because I am so exhausted by the both-siderism of all of this stuff. And my last guest talked about how important it is for Democrats to really hold their own elected officials and their own regulators, yeah, their feet to the fire with increased transparency, actually putting into law conflict of interest rules for the judges that are appointed by Democrats to set the tone to really lead on transparency and anti-corruption efforts. But when I hear both siderism from people, often what I get is sort of this litany of like, oh, well, all these things too. And this happens with fact checking. Okay. Oh, well, this candidate got this wrong. But here's my proposal to each and every one of you. And I want to get Dom's reaction first. And then I want to hear what you think about my proposal. Every time somebody or a fact checker talks about, well, they said this and they did that, and you get the both siderism, it is absolutely necessary for us to ask the next two questions. And these next two questions are more important than the fact that has been misrepresented, okay? And it is this. Ask yourself, what is the acuteness? How bad? How blatant? What is the scale, the acuteness of the misstatement, of the lie, of the fabrication? Is it selective quoting of facts? Is it contextual? Is it a framework? Or is it a bald-faced, easily known or knowable lie that they are just repeating? Have they been fact-checked before? So you analyze the acuteness. Likewise with corruption. Well, how corrupt is it? Is it super corrupt? Is it your son-in-law taking $20 million from the Saudi sovereign wealth fund because you've never run a hedge fund before? Is it that? Or is it a $20,000 truck? Like, these are not the same thing, if you get my drift. So yeah. The next important question, acuteness. And then the third question, which has to be asked, is what is the impact of the lie, of the corruption, of the misrepresentation? And I mean that both from a voter perspective and a public policy impact. And it's the absence of those two follow-up questions, Dom. And really, that's what we need to be concerned about, because otherwise it just does degrade into like, well, they said this and you did that.
Yeah.
It is the acuteness and the impact. And my argument to people has been, the acuteness and the audaciousness of the corruption and the lies by Donald Trump and the MAGA party is off the charts. It has been never recorded before. That's the problem. And its impact on regular people, on working folks on this country, is also off the charts. Your reaction to my new rubric. Don't just give me the list.
Right.
Tell me how bad it is and what it's going to do to people.
I think you're absolutely right. Right. I look at this in the terms of weighting. Maybe that's how acuteness and the level of impact, right?
Yes.
Someone doing, like, I don't like to do math on the radio, right? So maybe I did some rough, but on the back of the napkin math, my number was wrong, right? How is that weighted? What was my intent? Those kinds of things. Or if you're someone like J.D. Vance, who stood up at the vice presidential debate and proclaimed that Donald Trump saved the Affordable Care Act. You know, I think those are two totally separate, and I could be wrong in my math, and he could be certainly be wrong about that, but what's the weight? It's a lot heavier, that kind of a lie. And to another example, the whole FEMA thing. I mean, there's a guy apparently was arrested because he was threatening FEMA workers because they're believing whatever, you know, bunk that is being spread out there on the internet and proposed and further pushed by people like J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, putting FEMA workers at risk. And not only that, also, what, convincing folks that could actually be helped by FEMA, that could actually use the services that they so deserve and need to not ask for the help because they think that somehow their land's going to get stolen or whatever the case may be. There are very specific reactions to the lies.
Yeah, and we've got to clock those. Because it's not all created equal.
Yeah.
It's not both siderism. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about Trump insulting yet another audience. We're going to listen to some of the impacts of his big old acute and terribly impactful lies about FEMA. And of course, his big old fatty lies about the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. We'll have all of that and your reactions when we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, but your name has to be not CJ.